I'd like to say one or two little things tonight. This morning we said some things that seems to have struck a familiar note with some of the people, and they seem to have been happy over the situation. I'm just a helper of your faith, and I'm trying to do a little bit as the best I can to help you. And sometimes I say things maybe might be a little bit hard to be understood. I don't know. Peter said, Paul said some things hard to be understood, and I guess sometimes we all do. But we are a steward of the mysteries of Christ. He's entrusted them to us, and we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. And so then we're trying to help your faith. I'm here for no other reason than to help your faith. I don't have any personal motives and personal ambitions in building Little Bethlehem or world evangelism. I just want to do my bit. I know that in the world, from the time we rear our youth up, we have great exuberance, and the world is a great and mighty place, and conquest is in our mind, and projection and preeminence, and all these things, and it looks like it's a great and mighty world. And people go through life, the opposite sex and whatever, and is attracted one to another, and all that's great, and all that's supposed to be as to in a godly sense, and it's wonderful, especially as to marriage, reproduction, those kind of things. But really, when you know about God, and you know about the world, and you know about human beings and bodies, and when you know about all things, the Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Really, there's just nothing to it. There's just nothing to it. And one would say, well, Brother Pike, if that be true, what is this great, great exuberance and this drive and this staring and this thing that I have toward life that is just so thrilling to me and just catches me away in this great state of ecstasy? What is this? It's just a paradise. You know, to go through the world and have money and fly and boat around and love and hug and kiss and passions and all. And what is this great heaven? Well, it is a heaven. That's right. It is a heaven. Satan has made it. And it is a heaven. It's the second heaven. And there is the first heaven and the second heaven and the third heaven. And it is a heaven. And sure enough, you are in heaven. Like I say, it's hard for you to conceive of sometimes, but we are in heaven. And not only the saints of God are they in heaven, but also Lucifer, he is in heaven too. That's by grace. And this morning we explained a few of these little things, because as I say, I don't have much time to explain to you. After we left this morning, of just the few little things that we explained, Sister Betty and I drove off, and there was hundreds and thousands of things that the Spirit of God introduced to Sister Betty just as we rode off for about 2 to 3 hours. Went over and got us some lamb to eat, which was highly allegoric in what I understood of today. And every day our life is filled with the great excitement of the exuberance of heavenly potentialities. And even though Betty, she doesn't understand everything, she's a great putter together of puzzles. And her life of putting together puzzles, as I said before, represents my life of putting together revelation. And she's my flesh, and in the natural she does these things to show what spiritually is my calling. So God puts all these things together in my mind for me. And Betty has really been blessed in her exuberance and her zeal for putting together puzzles, and she had to learn to do something, or I guess she'd went out of her mind trying to live with me. But maybe I'm over here for hours and she's over here for hours, and sometime in a motel room or whatever it would add up to, and she has to have something to do, and she picks out a clean little thing like that. And they brought her all kind of puzzles, and they never have been able to stop her. The puzzles they brought that were supposed to be the most complicated, even through the double face, she just put them together and walked right on through them. And She's put them together of land and houses and sheep and horses and stars and moons and earth and seas and everything, you know, ships, whatever it might be, which symbolically introduces the thought that Revelation puts it all together. In the world, they say, get it all together. It's like a song that I have. It's called, Did You Get It All Together? Or Get It All Together. So, song the Lord gave me. And when we think about these kind of things, we think, well, now wait. There's a revelation to the tree. There's a revelation to the boat. There's a revelation to the plane. There is a revelation to the human body. There's a revelation to everything. See everything. There is a revelation because all things emanated from the Spirit. And everything is symbolic. It's a type. It's a shadow. It's a symbol of heavenly things. So all of the invisible world, as to our edifying through the charitable means of God, is from the great, wonderful out yonder world, as we say. So the allegorics is here in this present world as to our educational side of it. Charity edifies, knowledge puffeth up. And the forerunner is always knowledge. It has to come first, and the veil has to come first, and this world, it has to come first. The negative has to come first, and all of these things before it comes to the affirmative and the positive. So that's what it's all been about, and all these people have to occupy the lands and positions and to do all the things that people do as symbolics, as types, as shadows, a parabolic approach to the great, wonderful light or world of light that's revealing itself. As to the destroying and eradicating of this thing that is but vanity, darkness, and night of an intellectual stride called life. So then we know this, we understand this, and the great loving Father of lights has revealed this to us because we're His precious children. So it's kind of like the sunshine shining through that door right now, you know, and in here it's a little bit dim. The light isn't as bright as that great light. And it helps us in here as it comes through, as we say. And today, explaining to Sister Betty, there as the Lord spoke to her, then He made her to understand night and day, why there's a night and day, how that it came about, and there would be no other way. It had to come. And it shows its origin and how it got started and these kind of things. Well, I wish we had time. Every night I come here, I desire so, my heart is enlarged to you, and I desire so to share with you these things, which are hundreds and thousands of things. Not a revelation, it is a world, an invisible world that's revealing itself. And somebody would say, well, how great is that, Brother Pike, as to that great world? How much is contained in that great world? Well, how much is contained in this little finite world of fish and all the kind of species and the creeping and the bugs and the mites and the beetles and the bodies and the different species of life, of animals and whatever, and trees and flowers and on and whatever. See, if you get some idea of what all the forerunner is, you'll have just a slight idea of what that is, because it all emanated from that, just kind of as a bundled up, balled up package. Like somebody wrote a song one time, and it was called Mail Order from Heaven, a Package of Love Sent Down to Us from the Father Above. When we think of all these wonderful things, then we know that we're in school. We understand. And like I said to Sister Betty today, I said, Betty, it is absurd for me to think that I can be over here just kind of sitting around, and somebody comes by and says, George, did you know there's a school over here? There's a high school, there's a grammar school, there's college. And I said, well, that's great. I'm glad to know that. That's really news to me. And so about 15 years goes by, and we'll start getting their diplomacies, and I run over to pick up mine. And I said, well, I'm come to pick up my diplomacy. And they said, but I don't know you. I said, oh, yes, I know all about you. Oh, I don't know about you. The Lord said, I never knew you. See, Depart from me, ye that worked iniquity. Where was you when I needed you? And say, where was you when school was going on? Did you learn anything? Did you ever take any of your time? Did you ever apply yourself? Oh, no. See, how do I expect a diplomacy? So I'm going to sit down at the first of the week, as I said to Sister Betty. And I said, Betty, and the man goes to work on Monday. He works all the week, and all the travail is through the week to try to make a living for his little family. So when Friday comes, I go to pick up my paycheck, and the man says, but I'm sorry, I don't know you. Oh, but I know all about you, but that doesn't do any good. See, that doesn't do any good. Does he give me a paycheck? Oh, no. What makes me think he's going to pay me? See, and if I don't plant a field of corn, and if I don't work my fields, and I don't plant my seed, and I don't take care of my vehicle, and I don't take care of my home, and I don't take care of my clothing, and I don't try to provide, you know, as to that that's adequate for the purpose as to survival in this world, as to have concern and care, what makes me think that in the time of harvest I'm going to reap anything when I haven't planted anything? Folks, and that's just how absurd it is with all this religious attire of today. People sitting around and talking about, you know, I'm a Christian, God's coming after me, and I know God loves me, and I've been born again, and, you know, past the milkshake and the bubbling and the beer and the frolics, the attractions and the movies and the televisions and the magazines and the newspapers, and on it goes. Schooling and education, diplomacies and running after the world, whoring around after the world. And then we think that's God, and we talk about something all day long in the natural, laugh and joke and frolic and ride and eat and drink and buy and sell, and our mind is intellectual all day long now, all day long. And we tell somebody, as I said over in the late evening to some of the brethren, we tell somebody, I am a Christian. My, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Now let's talk about your car. Let's talk about your home. Let's talk about the clothing. Let's talk about my business, my job, my education, my views, all the things that I'm going to be in life. And about middle ways of the conversation. But it's wonderful to be a Christian, ain't it? And you know the races and the ball games and the television shows and all we saw last night and whatever. Now, it's wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? Don't you know that that is vomit to God? Folks, let me tell you something. You better get in, better get out of the diapers. It's time to get started on the way home, as the songwriter said. And it's time that you got into school and begin to apply yourself and realize that the translation is taking place and that God is no respecter person, and what you run after and whore after and what you give your mind to, that's what you are. The child's known according to his doings. And as to what you legislate in your heart, as to the thinking, pros and cons of your thoughts as to being a fulfillment of one way or another. See, that's what you are. And God feeds you. The fruits of your thoughts or your doings becomes that of your mind. And your mind controls your mental faculties as well as your physical being, the members of your body. And that's what you turn out to be in life. That's what you follow after. That's what you reap because you sowed to the flesh. And all things that are in the flesh deteriorate or corrupt. So you shall reap of the flesh according to your sowing a harvest of corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So it says here, in the beginning, God. All right, we're back to where we started because I wanted to comment some on this tonight, and I sure hope you'll give me time, you boy with me this morning, that I might be able to get over a few little things. And tonight, the things I say might be distasteful and they might not fit too good. And if I start hurrying and pushing, trying to get them over, I just mess up the tapes, and then I mess up your mind. I try to do the best I can, so give me a little time and bear with me just a little bit. If you have to go, go. Don't sit and have your mind out yonder and your spirit out yonder. And, you know, it's like I was telling Sister Betty today, we talked and talked and God was really speaking to her. And then we got over to the place where we were supposed to get the lamb. And she was hungry and I was hungry and she'd done real well till she got right in front of the place concerning the lamb. And then her spirit went out toward the lamb. You understand? And that's fine. That's what our spirits need to do, is go after the lamb. But I said, Betty, how are we talking about the natural tummy? I said, now, Betty, can you hold on just a minute? She's looking at me just as sober. She was just as sweet as she ever was, just as reverent, but her mind had gone after that. I said, now, would you listen at me just a little bit and let the Spirit of Christ keep talking to you to finish this little bit, and then we'll go in and I'll get the lamb and we'll have us a feast. So she agreed to. But see, just as quick as her spirit went out like that, the Spirit of God in me stopped. I would just blink up here. Because it was the Spirit of Christ speaking to Betty as to the spiritual being on the inside. And if I'm up here, I'm talking to you, I can do that. I can sing to you. You know, you play the organ, you play the piano, you play the guitars, you do all these things. You can dance, you can shout, you can preach, you can scream, you can holler, you can say whatever you want to. See, that don't get the job done. That don't get the job done. But it is when Christ speaks to you, and let me say this to you. I don't care what I say. I can say spiritual things as to word expression. All I'm doing is relating to you what God has related to me. Or as God speaks through me as to water through a spigot. When he is speaking, though I am talking of spiritual things. I'm saying this to those sometimes that think they get the revelation. Remember, it's still a sound from my lips. It's still human instrumentality that's falling on your listening ears. And it's still the vocabulary utterance of atomic disturbance as to vibrant disturbance or vibrations that's issuing forth from the wind that comes up through these little old pipe and little old fixtures in here that will work whatever to the vibrant to bring forth some kind of sound. Now, it could be gobble, gobble, gobble. It could be bow, wow. It could be roaring like a lion. It could be in Japanese. It could be in German. It could be like a bird chirping. Whatever it is, see, it could be in any kind of language. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with it. God secularly divided everything according to his desire, his nature, and everything according to the nature conforms to the image. So he has his way, and the good and the evil. So then when these things come, it's just a lot of sound. Now to you, you understand it because you grow up with it. And if you'd have grown up bow-wowing or roaring or quacking like a duck, you'd have understood that. But you didn't. See, so your nature's different. And you grew up in America, so you understand language. And as far as you're concerned, a lot of people, the other people in the world are just a bunch of ignoramuses. It's just blah, blah, blah. But that isn't it. And you know, if you get your little educational indoctrination in somebody else's, not on your level, and they're a fisherman or hunter, or maybe they're some kind of common worker, and it's just blah, blah, blah. But not so. See, and when you work out in the field like I did when I come up as a little boy, ragged, you know, the little holes in my knees of my pants and shoes and whatever, and I thought, well, we're just a little bunch of ignorant guys because I was a little country boy, didn't have no education, and there's some little black boys that was little country boys and didn't have no education, and we're always just out there making a living. And I thought, you know, I come to think, well, we're just a bunch of ignoramuses, and you know, and everybody's whatever, and we just ain't. That's all it is to it. But you know, folks, as I got further down the trail and I began to look back, I realized that we all had good sense and all these brilliant PhDs don't have nothing. They don't have good common sense. They reckon the world, our society, don't want to work for a living, got a piece of paper, running around ravishing, taking away virtues and stealing and thieving, and God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. With their experiments and their great powers and all these atomic involvements and whatever, they're just taking the world apart. So then you sure get a different look at it, you know, and all these ecclesiasticals of today that's got their little thing going and their legislative acts, and you bunch of folks that's supposed to be religious fanatics and this fanaticism, and that's going to be shocking because the first is going to be last and the last is going to be first, and things are going to flip all the way around. And they're going to find out you got good sense and they didn't have no sense at all and not even enough to even perfect a bottle of medicine, as I say so many times. Just intellectual darkness. All right. So we say this then as a starter here tonight. And we come to this place, as I was telling my wife today. Are we a bunch of ignoramuses? Well, I'm less than any of you. I'm less than nothing, and I do good to measure up to your shoe. If we just, or your shoe tongue, if we just made a comparison as to my abilities, you know, I wouldn't have any. But there is one thing that we have to acknowledge, as I told some brethren over in the evening. We say in the world, if we're going to intellectually approach the subject as to what we are tutored in, to believe, and I say that to those, this goes all over the world, those that are in that kind of condition. See, we're going to accept that, and we're going to approach that subject as to this way. We're going to intellectually approach it. So we say as to the forms of mass, and I say again as a real simple thing, as to a chunk of ice, as to a solid, a mass of whatever that'll melt down into water and couldn't be heated up into steam is the first power, second power, third power, a gas of a vapor or something that steam would spin the locomotive wheels, the gasic form, the third power. Now, broken down, when we come to this and we're going to intellectually approach this, then we've decided as to the trend of today and Mr. Einstein and the different ones that are a lot of great mighty men in the world or some that's passed on. Now, we say then that we're approaching this as to a form of mass matter over here. Now, I am taught to believe, or I'm led to believe from what all I collect and I hear of different ones and what the Lord allows me to know, that over here I've got a potentiality. I've got potential energy in this mass, in this form. I've got molecules and I've got atoms and I've got electrons and protons and neutrons and betas and I got little sparks, that is, I got little packets of light. I got this quickening down to fusion, down to fission, all this kind of thing. Now, I've been into some of these things. I'm taught to believe that. Now, today we brought out something about the molecular structure and the difference as to differentiating as to the great gulf that some people fall into and as to America, supposedly the new world, and the electrical forces and the powers. I brought something out on that today. So I'm led to believe toward this line of the quickening. Now, think that over now. See, and we brought out a great point of differentiating at between these two things. I say we go to the moon, we launch off from here, and then we have our stages and we drop off the first stage and the second stage, and then there we go. Now, if that would be the world intellectually we're saying, then that would be the old serpent climbing up into the heavens, making his nest among the stars. Intellectual thrust, because God didn't say mess with the heavens. He said multiply and replenish the earth. So up they go. And when they get up there, they find out they don't have anything but stone. And in those stars wandering around, nickel and rock, it all belongs to the earth. It got up there the way the Lord allowed it, as the creation and the tilt and all these kind of things. See, under the gravitational forces, and it's helped up there, thus as by the light, as through the reflecting, coming from the great sunlight. Now, and so we say, the man in the moon, I heard about that when I was a boy. Now, but that really isn't the answer. That's just second place. That's just where you're dropping off that stage there as to the soul realm. See, but you look in Revelation, when we start talking about vision and Revelation, and this, and we see then the sun. See, at the moon, you're just getting on a launching pad. You haven't even started your journey yet. So that's just the final arrival as to the destination and the terminal, as to that which is terminal, or we see as cancer being terminal, term the end of the journey for them that are carnally minded, they can get into the infinite. See, so that's just the launching pad. But when we look in Revelation, we don't see a man on the moon. We look and there's the sun. And we see a great angel in the light, in the middle of the great day star, the sun. Now, we know who that has to do with, because the Bible said Christ alone dwells in that great light. So we know that angel is a representation of Christ as to that natural there. So we see that there's somebody that can go to that light, but it's not the human structure. It's not the molecular. It's not that cosmic quickening as to the energy of this mass of human potentiality. See, no matter what the developing is, no matter what Mr. Einstein is, no matter what anybody is, they don't go there. See, only the body of Christ, the body of Christ being a super potentiality, a form of mass that can yield an equivalence of that release power of God as to heavenly quickening according to the mass. So is the equivalence here if we run it through the process as 1, 2, 3, pow, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Now, and when we see this, we know that it's done through college, through school, as to the potentiality of your human physics. Oh, we run it through that and we come out over here. Now, pardon my expressions because I'm rude in speech but not in knowledge. But we run it through. We take the human being. We take the human structure. We take the brilliance. We take all these great PhDs and all these kind of things. So we run it through and we potentially develop it from the little one down here until it's a finished product. And then after we get the whole thing done, we have very successfully went through the entirety of the motion of the world. They called it the whole 300 yards on the ball field. And we have successfully become a heap of dung. Let's give the Lord a hand. So you've graduated and now you are a little pot of dung. All right, somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike, that's insulting. I know, that's what they said, you know. But nevertheless, Jesus said, pigs and dogs, mire and vomit. And Paul said, dung. All of that is as dung. All that back there is as dung. See, all of this that you see that's supposed to be so glorious, so wonderful, all the sparkle and the glitter and the diamonds and the brilliance and education, it's just dung. It just passes through the body out the anus. See, it's just going through, and God is allowing all that to go through so that he can separate, and put the poison, the uremic poison, out. And then it goes out through the stem and out to the matrix, as we say, as to the waters. These kind of things. And then out through the anus. And the other things, it's just ptomaine poison and all these other kind of things. See, just getting rid of all the dung as it passes through so that he can, as to this wonderful mechanism of the inner man. Paul said, and we're wonderfully made, David said. And Paul said, it's to this inner man, and Peter spoke of the inner man. See, that this great, wonderful manufacturing thing on the inside goes through all of this naturally separating potentially elements, whatever the vibrations were, the cosmic energy. See, only symbolic. And then all of this is passing through the spiritual man. Through the spiritual man. He comprehends it, and he sees it. See, and it becomes an intellectual thought. But it's nothing but dung. And he's going to shell it down, and the shucks, the swine will eat, and all these kind of things, the husk, the peanuts, and whatever, you know, the hull. And it's just like taking an egg and shelling it down and eating the egg and no more seeing the egg, and the shell is gone. So it's energy, it's life. And this is what I'm saying. If I administrate here, or if I minister to you, and it's not me speaking, it's Christ. He's coming through me as human instrumentality. He has to express himself that way. He's light. You cannot see him any other way. That's why he went through all this great act of creation. See, and with this, as he comes through, if you hear, even if I express it in what is supposed to be revelational terms, all you've got is the husk. And you'll fill your belly with the husk as to the religious printed page, and that's all there is to it. Now, or sound as to vibrations of atomic particles, or these nerves as to nothing but a rendition of the mind is not anything at all as to the great rent veil of Calvary, as to the issuing forth of that stream of the rendition of Christ on the inside, as to the exuberance of that great, wonderful Christ. Now, see, and if you don't get light, it's like I told my wife today. I said, Betty, do you understand these things? Well, not all of them, she says, but I believe I understand some of these things. I said, well, beware now, because listen, it's the move of God. See, don't know each other after the flesh, but after the measure of the spirit, whether it's a bad spirit or a good spirit. See, judge it, because all this is nothing but a mold. It's an outward thing here. It's nothing but a casing and a shell. It's got to be done away. Even the embalmers say it's a shell. The world is nothing but a shell. It's nothing but just a cover, a veil. So like projecting a movie back here on the screen, cut off the movie, and that's all there is to it. It's just in your mind, that's all. So this whole thing is two different minds. And there's two different roots. One is love, one is lust. And one is filial love, and one is agape love. And agape love is God love, and the other is nothing but human love or lust or human senses as to a sensual thing of reproduction. That's all it is. Now let's differentiate between those two as we go along down the line a little. If you want to hear tonight, and if you're hungry tonight, and if you'll listen tonight, and if you're not, if you don't fill the belly with the husk out there of that old appetite, being on the belly is the worm, and you don't have any room for God, that's all right. This comes to you as God, a great light, to reveal himself to you. And the formation is thoughts as to splitting the atoms. And the formation is images. And the formation is a projection as to these images that's coming forth from human mind. And in yours, it's Frankenstein, and it's the werewolf. It's a star, heavenly creatures as to the Star War. And it's all kind of weird things. And it's bats, and it's Halloween, and jack-o'-lanterns. It's everything that's, you know, all of the foolishness of the world and of the darkness and the bewitching thing. If you ever notice, that comes just about harvest time. That comes just about harvest time, because there's two things that's going on there. And one of them has to do with Satan coming after his, and then the other, God coming after his. So when we stop to consider these things and think about these things, then we say, now, are we ignorant? Are we ignorant? Or are we the potentiality, as it is said? See, are we a heavenly potentiality? Are we an earthly? Are we an earthly potentiality? And what will be the results of our life as to the equivalent? See, if it is expected as to a form of mass, as to the equivalence, as to the kinetic energy or the released energy, as to the third power of the gases being the same as it would be as to that stored up potentiality, as to potential energy in the natural, if this is a process, see, which is nothing but energy, as to human energy that's referred to as spirit and a type, then what will it be if we take a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that whatever the form of mass is, as to whatever the part of the membership is of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to his exuberance and drive in life for his ordination or calling. As the Bible said, let every man abide in his calling. See, this calling, won't it be the same equivalence of the released potentiality as to if this is a potentiality of God, as to Christ in the body, or the Word Spirit made flesh, and as to the release, once it's released and it became spirit, as to Jesus the body, potentiality as Christ, this great released over here. See, and all spiritual things understood by natural things, and our educated way of life as to diplomacy comes through these natural types and shadows, the allegories, and the heavenly things released as to dispense through natural bodies as to types and shadows, and this life going into you and the dispenser, whatever. And we could go on and go on by in this, where we talked to Betty about hundreds of things today, as to what it has to do with when you really get down to the spirit and down to the minute. Folks, you haven't even scratched the surface yet. Some of you haven't even scratched the surface. Not even the surface. See, and so I said, well, what has all this got to do with it? All of this has got to do with eternal life. All this has got to do with the chains. Somebody said, well, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, say hallelujah, praise the Lord, go to church and you'll go to heaven. And God, no, you won't. No, you won't. Ain't no need of letting the devil tell you that kind of foolishness. That ain't nothing. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I spake as a child. I had done the things of a child. When I become a man, as to getting into the spirit, then I knew better than those foolish things as to the children of the world that's running around with their make-believes. And I put away all the toys of the world. Now, so then, when we come to this, I say again then, are we ignorant? No, we're not ignorant. Why? Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Is God then ignorant? No. All that God knows, he has made known to us. Is that then ignorance? No. Then I am the body and bone and flesh of him. Is that ignorance or death? No. The bundle of potentiality that's to be released. See, as to the conformity and the development, as to the translation of the spirit, to make this life manifest in your mortal genes to the change, that it might appear even in your mortal genes as Jesus that was on the mountain with the transfiguration. That's what you want, Satan. You want that. You know that. You'd listen all night long to get that because you want that curly hair and you want the pretty curls and you want the muscles and you want the sex and you want the all this pretty fashion, all the things of the world and all of this intermingling, interwoven lust and vomit and the waller and the mire. You want that. You'll listen when we talk about the youth and all this eating and drinking, buying and selling, whatever, because you savor the things that be of the flesh. But you that love God, that is vomited out all of that. Keep it out of your system. Don't go lap it. You're not dogs. Don't go eat with the pigs. That's the husk. Let them have it. I say again to you as I said today, do you mean to say that we are to bow down to the things of this world and the children of ignorance when the Bible said they're ignorant and they're blinded by the ignorance within them and they'll not know when good comes and they can't comprehend understanding? And we're to bow down to them when God is the one all things emanated from. And it is God that knows about what we say when we speak as to the archaeological approach of life or the biology approach of life or spiritualology or whatever we want to call it. See, all that comes from God, all of that, and they just give it titles as Adam. And they're nothing but a reflector like a film. That's all it is. And they've monopolized off of it. And Satan has taken the body. And through this intellectual thing of what he is as an angel, as a knowledge coming down, he has confiscated and took that body and got in between the life of God that goes in that body. And he's got you in the hog pen and he's made a swine and a dog out of you. And he rides you like a horse to death. And he's a leech and he's a parasite. And he eats you up and you resent and you resent and you resent. See, every time God goes to talk to you, but nevertheless, that's where you at, and that's what you are. But God entreats, and the body of God entreats, and the Spirit of Christ entreats, and the inner man of Christ entreats, because it's after that wonderful knowledge of God and that wonderful, wonderful way of God growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, when we come to these things, then, are we ignorant as the body of Christ? No. We understand by virtue of Christ, strictly by grace, giving him the glory by the works, not the travail of our abilities and visage and talents and skills to obtain our diplomacies, whereas the Bible said, and that which is highly esteemed in the eyes of men is abomination in the sight of God. Nothing but a middle wall of petition, knowledge puffeth up. The more you know, the worse off you are. But charity edifies. So then when we come to these wonderful edifications, then we know that he gives us revelation, he gives us understanding, he bypasses the old tree of knowledge and the old tree of death. So we realize that we're not ignorant by knowing him, by understanding the Spirit. We understand the archaeological approach thoroughly. And he makes us to know all of the parts of the earth, know every one of them, the mantles, right on down, every one of them right on down. We even know something beyond that, that hailed from beneath. And when it comes to the trees, we understand it breaks it down. It tells us all about it. As to the constitution of it, every part of it. It breaks down the world of human chemistry and tells us right down to the minute, even to the enzymes. And it breaks down as to this that is around us, all of the molecular structure. And as to the spheres, and as to the atomic particles, the elements, and breaks it down right on down to the fission and the fusion. And it makes us to know all about what they call the celestial, as to the symbolics, and we know all of that plus, because he reveals it to us, and he makes us to understand all of that. See, so we're not as ignorant and not knowing those things. We knew those things a long time ago and bypassed those on our way up and we dropped those stages off as we went. See, and all of that is for the garbage man. All of that is for the dump. All of that falls into the sea. All of that goes back into that power of gravitational force that holds on to the elements of the earth. And we're going right on and we drop off that body and we drop off that soul because souls is for the animal where the life dwells within the animal, bringing it down to the bloodstream. And then we get there and then we go on So if the world has got up as far as the moon and they got to that stages, then it's time for the sons of God to really launch on out and to pull off that vesture and shoo, like that. You know, like I said today, you're talking about a mystery. Let somebody try to go from here to the sun, or that is launch from the moon to the sun. And you're talking about a mystery, as I said today, they kind of chuckled over it, but I didn't mean it that way. But going from the moon to the sun, and you know what will happen? That'll be the greatest mystery of all time, because all of a sudden they'll wonder what happened to you. And unless there's something on the inside of you more than you, it'll never go up where that angel is standing in the midst of the light. And that's what's happening, and it's coming sevenfold. And it's coming sevenfold, more and more down to you. And you say, well, I think it'll come to me. You're going up to meet it. You just don't know it. That inner man is transformating all the time, either one way or another. Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he said, and these ministers of Lucifer, they transform their minds from darkness into light. So you're transformating into one world or another as the inner man. And that little old cocoon is just carrying it until the time of the birth of the baby. That's all. So something is forming on the inside of you. Now, right here at this point, I want to say something. I don't like to bring it out at night. I don't like to bring it out now like tonight. See, you're listening real good, and you're pressing back in, and I'm picking you up a little more. But still, you don't have much strength as really coming in to be able to get anything from God. But you want stirred a little bit. See, but you done eat so much and sluggish in your minds, your brains working in your human senses, and all these other kind of things, you know, and there's nothing spiritual there. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, that spirit might contact spirit. So it won't be me speaking, but it'd be God speaking, and God's a spirit speaking to you, and it won't be you listening, but it'd be God on the inside as the recipient, as that light up there and that power from the transformer, and then the glow and the darkness done away with, that everybody can be in the light, like that angel that came down from heaven in the book of Revelation, and his light lighting all the earth, and the angel that came down to the shepherd, and there the light lightened all around as for the shepherds. See, how big is your light when you flip on your little light? All right, now, talking about your measure now. See, we go back to the garden and the beginning. And when we get back to the garden, what do we find? We find that something took place there as until today that man thoroughly doesn't understand. He still don't really understand. And though this morning I want to speak to you about it, and though tonight I wanted to speak to you about it, but nevertheless, you count yourself, Paul said, you count yourself unworthy of these things. And every time that great, mighty man of God that had that light of that measure so great shining through him, even to Christ himself, as it come forth, the Pharisees and the puffed ups and the religious and the others that didn't care and interested in the world and going after the gullible appetites of the world. See, it was a repelling. It was a contrariness. It was the seed of the scornful trying to kill him, trying to put that light out. The devils and the demons didn't want it to be expressed, always finding fault, always causing problems, and God allowing that thing as a buffer, as to a spirit to aggravate him. See, always to keep him humble. And in that, Paul would say, you counted yourself unworthy. You didn't listen. You didn't listen. All that you heard was just the warning as to the judgments of God coming upon you, because what I said didn't penetrate. You didn't record it. You didn't pick it up. You didn't get it. And like I told somebody this morning, I believe it was, whoever it was, Roger, the other night, it might have been the other night on the last service, I said, Brother Roger, they're not getting it. They're not getting it. Now, so I can say tonight, so you're not getting it. We haven't even gotten to the subject yet. See, and you're not getting it. If you're weary, just with the army as you walk, what are you going to do when you run with the horses, the Bible said. So, being weary and well-doing. See, you don't get it. There's no hunger. There's no thirst. Your hunger was for your face. Your hunger was for your body. Your hunger was for your passions. Your hunger was for your education. Your hunger was for money, for cars, for brilliance, for all this thing, for energy and exuberance and laugh and talk and ride and all of this vanity of the world. And you satisfied your appetite. Like Brother Branham said one time, how cruel to do that when God gives an appetite and you satisfy it with them kind of thing. See, and you satisfy it with them kind of things, so you don't have any hunger for this, any desire for this, any place for this. When you come to church, we were discussing over in the evening. See, when you come to church, your hunger is not for this. It's you resenting this. You're full. You're full of that old outer man and on the belly and the worm and the serpent and the carnal mind of enmity, resenting this and in the seat of the scornful and sitting in the seat of the scornful and standing in the way of sinners. See, instead of delighting yourself in the laws of the Lord, in the revelation of Christ, in the wonderful thing, knowing how to behave yourself in the house of the living God, the ground and pillar of the truth, coming in with thanksgiving and praise and all these kind of things, see. And there you are. You're over in that. You're over, you know, the molecular structure, just an old cosmic energy quickening and filling the belly for the more. You know, and combustible and may pop into flames anytime, or your worm bait. But there are a few, like I said, one in the field, one taken and one left, or two, that is. Two grinding at the mill and one taken and one left. See, when it comes to these kind of things, somebody's been taken. Somebody has been left. And we got a whole lot of folk that's been left. And few be people that have been taken. Few there be that find it. And the more I talk, the worse you get. Let's give the Lord a hand. Makes the devil show up the more. The more you plow, the more the devils, the snakes begin to run out here, and the weasels, and all these kind of things. And you'll be shocked at your field if you're not careful. All right, so then there's no way to get into it, that's for sure. I can see that. And I was privileged to go into it with my wife today. I feel all kind of interference, even with my mind tonight, as I try to talk to you because there's no receptacle. And the more I talk, the more resistance you have. And that means that I'm glad to have gotten this over to her today as to all these wonderful things, whether she received them or not, whether she got them or not. I don't know. But as I said to her, I said, Betty, if you understand, then that means that you've been converted. And now this has become light and understanding instead of intellectual concept of indoctrination. And I said, and that's what makes all the difference. And if, folks, you haven't been converted with all of this preaching as to this light of understanding, that means that you was not saved. That means you're not born again. It means you will not be born again. It means you will not make the translation. You are not even a child of God. See, because when you talk to a person, the first thing that you have to do is convert their mind. And if you convert their mind, you become a savior as the member of the body of Jesus Christ. Members as to saviors in the plural. Members, collectively speaking, as his body. So when you do this, the Bible said, know that you've saved a soul from hell. When you convert, you have become a man savior. I will bring saviors up upon the mount, he said. And so then when you talk to somebody and you convert them, once their mind is converted, they automatically get salvation because that conversion is light. And light is life and understanding that goes down from the intellectual as to the feelers of the human senses down into the heart and strikes the spirit. And when it strikes the spirit, that's new birth and you're sealed in. And the soul is preserved from sin to the change from the molecular structure over to a son or a daughter of God, which is eternal life. And you're no more dependent on that. That is the cosmic energy. My, you know, we just have got to the threshold to see whether or not you could get across. But I'm going to stop right there. Because as I say, I know that you're counting yourself unworthy of eternal life. And it would be so wonderful if you hadn't have done that. As I said a number of times, this morning you've done pretty good. See, but you're going and coming. And then that means that, and some did get some things this morning. They came rejoicing over the evening, telling me what they got. And some tonight will be real disgusted, knowing that they come here wanting to hear this and wanting to get this. But then that's up to you. As I said today to them, they couldn't understand. The ladies are saying, why don't we get this when we come to church if you all go and get this when you talk to the brother by himself? simply because your spirit is not hungering and thirsting after it, simply because your inner man is not thirsting. You're more interested in your face and your body and your house and your home and your money and your husband's paycheck and the things of the natural and the world and all these kind of things is lust. See, and retaining your youth or going back to it or these kind of things, and you just don't have any spiritual hunger, that's all. That's why the early church got rid of all they had so that they could get their minds off of it and get the inner man's mind on Christ. So, that's where it's at, folks. And like I said, a lot of things that I wanted to say, and I'll get to say them. I may not get to say them to you, but I'll get to say them. There's people that are waiting. Like the song we wrote, those far away places are so nearby to me. Souls that are calling, come and bring salvation to me. Let's stand together. It's my pleasure to be here and talk with you. Even if you don't receive, I find it a pleasure to stand and talk with you because I have to answer to God. And therefore, I must speak to you. I must give you your chance and opportunity. And as Paul said, when he shook his raiment and he said, you counted yourself unworthy of eternal life. And as to the change and the knowledge, as to the translation knowledge. And he shook himself and he went on his way. And the Bible said, and the elect received it. And to all them that was elect, and they received it. And the rest did not. And they were blinded as to the intellectual and the blindness being that ignorance within them as to the darkness of that intellect that kept them from it. And so they did not get it. Now, it doesn't hurt me in the sense that I got it. He gave it to me. There are some here and there. They're picking these things up. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Pray, beg, yield. Don't be evasive. Try to press in. Plead and ask God to remember you. Remember you. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And ask God to remember you and ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you. And ask God to give you the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. And ask Him to come into your heart and enlighten you as the light of the world is to your measure, that you might shine as a great light, that the world may see your light. I'm trying to offer my little light. And He's blessed it. As to Bethlehem, He's blessed it. As to reaching people here, He's blessed it. As to radio, as to television, tent ministries, as to crusades, as to testimonies, as to the printed matter going all over the different parts of the world. And He's blessed me in my little light to let my little light shine as to whatever my measure. And my heart is enlarged to you. But again, I say as the Lord said to Brother Branham, go west, your people will not feed. And he saw a mountain of bread out west and went in that direction as to do what God told him to do. Now, I would hope that would never happen here. But I do know that you need to get shook up some. Every now and then you get complacent. And I just felt sure tonight when I come that you were going to be complacent to the extent that you've done, satisfied yourself for today and whatever, and you've done eat and ready to retire. Let's sing this little chorus. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Oh, won't you hear my humble
bold cry. And wild others thou call, all in the doom.
Can you sing that with me? Sing that chorus again. Call on him now.
Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while find a sweet relief while yielding there in deep contrition. Won't you help my unbelief? Won't you hear my humble cry? The wild others thou art calling,
one more time together. The altars are open if you'd like to come.
Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? Wild others thou art calling, oh, do not.
One more time together, can we sing it? Let's lift our hands up and praise him, can you?
Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While others thou art calling, oh, do not pass. Go leave it there.
Let's sing that again.
Go and leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Sing that with me.
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on Megathane, just remember in God's word how He fed the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it.
Sing it with me now.
Leave it.
Help me, Brother Taylor.
Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Can you slip your hands up together tonight to worship the Lord? I love you. I'm not scolding you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just telling you from the bottom of my soul. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. And I'm telling you before God, folks, my hands have been lifted to God. This is the truth, so help me God. All liars having their part in the lake of fire. Though we've said many things here for numbers of years, the half has never yet been told. Thousands and thousands of things, I'm telling you, that He's placed in my heart. This is not that thousands and thousands of things are ahead as to what we can obtain unto. It is true there are thousands and thousands of things ahead. Millions of things. The heavens of heavens can't contain Him. But as to that, as to our diplomacy, thousands of things that He's revealed to me that I just love to tell you about. You don't know how much I would like for you to embrace them, and how it would thrill your very soul. It would thrill your soul to a state of ecstasy that you couldn't contain. David said, my cup runs over. But I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, Christ has to do it, and you have to have the open heart, the hunger and the thirst to be able to obtain unto these things. So what can you say? If you don't believe that, if you can't accept that, if you don't hunger and thirst after that, there's nothing that I can do. It is Him and His. But it is so wonderful. It is so lovely. There's nothing to be compared to it. As Brother Armstrong was telling me today, having seen a lot of things, he was telling me today, he said, you know, he said, I'm so happy. I'm just so happy, he said, because these things are sufficing his soul, and his soul has longed for these things. And I have brethren that come and say, I'm so thrilled, Brother Pike. This is what they're looking for. What is this? It's the abundance of life, and this is eternal life. And this is what will change your body, you that are young, to preserve it. And you think you're young, and you think you're handsome, and you think you're pretty. Folks, honestly, don't feel bad. But when an old umbrella's wore out, you just throw it away. That's what you look like compared to this heavenly treasure. When Paul got up and saw one thing, and with all of his brilliance and diplomacy, and he looked back, he said, I tell you, folks, he said, don't be entangled again with the beggarly elements of the world. There is no comparison as to this great, wonderful glory to be revealed in you as this great, wonderful understanding of this light to the beggarly elements of your human brilliance. And all of your experience and all of your developments and all that you think you know. He said, it's not to be compared to all of that. He said, I'll tell you what that is. That's dung. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you make it sound so gruesome. Well, not really. That's what the Lord said. I'm just repeating what the Lord said. That's what He called it.
And he said nobody would want it but pigs and dogs. Would anybody want my outside of a hog and wallow in it? Would anybody want a lap vomit outside of a dog? But Brother Pike, we're not dogs. Don't you realize human beings aren't dogs? Well, that's because you don't understand. They're all animals. They're all dogs. Jesus said they're swines. Somebody would say, well, where did he say that? We know the Jews were vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. No, they had some knowledge. They'd been taught some things is what it was. And when the woman is to the Samaritan or is that they come wanting a little bite from the table, he said, it's not meet to give children's bread to dogs. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. But when the little lady humbled her heart, and she wasn't prestigious, it wasn't a matter of PhDs and her learning, and she didn't sass back and she didn't resent, she broke down the middle wall of petition. That wonderful Prince Charming on the inside just reached right through that veil because he was wanting to cuddle her in his arms anyway. She was his. And reached right through there and said, woman, great is thy faith. Whatever you want, just say what you want. And when the man came to Jesus and said, I thought myself not worthy to come. Where's the scripture? It makes it sound like he came to Jesus. He really sent somebody. And he said, I thought myself not worthy to come into your presence. And I didn't think he was worthy to come under my roof. And he said, all you got to do is just say it. And Jesus marveled, and that humility and that middle wall of petition was broken down. And the great, wonderful exuberance of God as to life eternal went out. And he said, he marveled, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That is to say, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, or all of Israel. I've not found this kind of faith. Humility before honor. Take my yoke and learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Don't judge after the flesh, but after the spirit. Find out what's behind the veil. Who do men say that I am? And find out what the measure is. And when you get hungry, when you get thirsty, go down to the store. If it's just the local store on the corner, it might be where you can pick up a few pennies worth. Or it could be a little bigger store around the corner where they might have even more that you would like to have. Or it might be a chain store. It could be the shopping mall. It could be the place where you would like to go and really take a look as to the natural sufficing. You know, this is the spiritual. And that you get over there and then you got all you want. Just search for the measure and find out. And you'll find things in that store, in that shopping mall, that came from afar. Things from out of the islands of Hawaii. And things from way over here, out of the islands of the Bahamas, and out of Mexico, and around the world. You'll find all of these wonderful tinklets. See, you go in there, you get everything that you want, and suffice yourself as to your house, your home, your clothing, whatever you'd like to be, you know. And that's the way it is when you find the right place and you find the right measure. A good man will bring forth out of his treasure both old and new. And you'll find all that you're looking for is to suffice your heart. All right, let's sing another little chorus and we're going to let you go. I will praise him. Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes. Can you ask God tonight to suffice you with His Spirit? Can you humble your heart? Can you hunger and thirst after the things of God? Can you do that tonight? And I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. And ask God tonight to come to you and give to you that you need and want. Because He has it for you. He wants you to have it. You're willing tonight to lift up your hands and worship the Lord and love the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. And I'll give in glory all ye the wind. One more time together. While you're singing praising the Lord, we'll let Brother Taylor dismiss you tonight. I think I got in before he got a chance to get up here. But I love you and I'm praying for you, but I'm telling you, you better learn to hunger and thirst after the things of God. The translation is at hand, and something is happening that you don't want to miss. Someone said, well, you know, in their heart, I won't miss the translation. But I'm telling you, think again now. You're waiting. You say, I've seen nothing happen. But just think, when it does happen, I tell you again, there it is. It happened. You missed it. See, why are you looking for that? Why are you looking for that? That isn't going to help you too late then. You're supposed to be doing your thing right now. It's for God. See, doing your thing right now. And that you be ready if that should happen. And it's not like you think it is. I tell you. You need to get in there and you need to begin to study the Word of God, to grow in the grace and the knowledge, to move on to the full diplomacy of God and the full reward and the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. You need to begin to move on. You say, but I'm a woman, Brother Pike. I know, but there's no difference. Women and men in God, He expects you to push right on too. And He expects your men folk to share your understanding with the lady folk. And that you should be able to do something in their behalf as to help them as your companion as they look to you.